Now then, some of you look as though you've had enough of this romantic lovey-dovey stuff for now. Though I wouldn't be too surprised if you've added a romantic feather to your own cap at your next autumn prom. But I digress for now. What shall we say our next story shall be? Let me see.
Mr. Coriander, Miss Patience Rebecca told us in that last story about Audrin Prom being inspired by someone else's lovey-dovey stuff, but we want to know how you two met.
How we met?
Yeah. Like, what's your lovey-dovey story?
Oh, so you aren't tired of romance yet after all. Well, if there's one story I can tell well, it's this one. Let's see. As many of you recall, I was born here in Thornvale. Coriander was not. It's not often we get outsiders or visitors in this valley, of course. And when we do, we tend to notice them. Coriander first showed his face around Thornvale when I was young, 16 or so. And while he was an oddity, a stranger in our town when strangers are very rare, I never had the need to speak to him. Besides, he was always surrounded by the most rough and tumble-looking people, folks with wind-blown hair, unusual styles of dress, and a hungry readiness about them that told me plainly, these were adventurers. Beyond that, of course, there were their lion birds. Murmurings in the town revealed that these wayward strangers had flown in and out of the valley more than once on the backs of the great griffins that they rode, of the likes of which we'd never seen locally before. They were always coming and going, and when they weren't, they were our charming strangers at the town banquets or dances or market days. They always had stories to tell and new treasures or new scars to show off. And at the center of them all was this one particular fellow with his wind-blown hair and a wide smile and a well-fitted coat that became him in different shades of blue. He always had a charming word to say and a roguish wink to follow it up with. He was a terrible flirt. Kissing hands and smiling and making elegant bows. Goodness, it took me years to gather the courage to actually go up and introduce myself. It was at my sister Yvette's wedding, I recall. I was helping my family make the rounds to make sure all the guests were seen to and thanked for their generosity. It was a warm evening, the sky still orange and purple over the mountain peaks, and the dancing had begun. I came into the main room of the hall where we were having the wedding, and there in the corner of the celebrations, there were these charming strangers with their handsome commander at their center, come to join the festivities, as had most of Thornvale, if I might add. And before I knew it, I was striding towards their party with my chin level and my shoulders square. "I am Patience Rebecca," I said to them, holding out my hand. "My sister, Yvette, is the bride this evening. Welcome." And the young man in the blue coat took my hand and told me his name was Coriander Swiftwell. I'll tell you honestly, my friends, I couldn't hear much of what was said after that, partially because of how charming and handsome he was, and partially because the band had struck up another tune, and the room got much, much noisier. And really, there was nothing for it but to ask him to dance, which I did most calmly and maturely. Away we went, with this Coriander Swiftwell leading me by the hand into the middle of the hall and sweeping me up into the most vigorous reel of my life. This wide-eyed adventurer had a surprising amount of grace and control on the dance floor. I matched him every step, every twirl, every swing about and back again. When the song finally ended, we were both out of breath, but neither one of us made a move to step aside, so we danced another. This time, we had enough wits about us, and the tempo was slow enough, that we could actually have something resembling a conversation. I commented on his dancing skills. He complimented my athletic endurance. He made me laugh more than once. But perhaps more surprisingly, I made him laugh. And he had such a delightful laugh. The kind to make you feel warm all over. We talked about some of his travels, but he seemed more interested in talking about Thornvale than anything. He asked about the rest of my family. I pointed them out in the crowd. I asked about his rowdy band of adventurers and griffin riders, and he told me who they were in the fondest, most poetic ways imaginable. When we'd finished our third, or maybe it was our fourth, dance, one of his friends came forward from the crowd, laughing, and begged me for a dance next. Actually, I went on to dance with all of them that night, each of Coriander's dearest friends, Chantilly Seagal, Forrest Hawthorne, Guy de Beaufort, Adelaide Rahim, and Tomoe Honda. One of the many unusual folks that Coriander kept company with over the years, these were the ones that were always at his side, every time he was in Thornvale. And we all had such a grand time that night that by the end of the evening, it was as though these strangers had been locals all their lives. It just seemed right. And as we all parted ways that evening, Coriander kissed my hand and said he hoped someone else in Thornvale would hurry up and get married real soon so that he could dance with me again as he had all night. Well, now, Coriander, my love, why are you looking at me like that?
Because my dearest, my most beautiful, my sun, my moon, my stars, my love of my life, Patience Rebecca, that story was absolutely wonderful.
Well, thank you, my dear.
It was also absolutely incorrect.
I beg your pardon?
Well, you told it well, my beloved. I will give you that. But you left out some of the more important details of our romantic origins. Would you mind if I cut in and make some minor, mind you, but important corrections?
Be my guest.
Look at her. As gracious as an angel. Well, I will do just that then. But first, how about we all get some more cider? All right? Everyone, make sure you refill your mugs and get back here lickety-split, because you do not want to miss this.